Sportsnet 650.
To talk about more things with the Canucks, here is Ian McIntyre.
Oh, speaking of sarcastic jerk.
Yeah.
Yes, you have me pegged, Alex. And I have been in trouble countless times for sarcasm on Twitter, sometimes in print as well. It surprises me more in print, but in Twitter especially, that people take so much literally, and maybe they don't know me very well. I'm quite sarcastic.
Yeah, I think all of us in the media can be a little sarcastic from time to time. It's just sort of what we're built to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just stick to we were talking about the Matt Duchene thing, because Nick Kypreos mentioned Matt Duchene on Hockey Night in Canada, and he threw out, not that the Canucks are going to trade Ojalevi, but it would take something along the lines of Ojalevi plus to make a deal happen. But can you realistically see the Canucks give up on Ojalevi a year after drafting him fifth overall, a 19-year-old defenseman?
No, I can't. And maybe we'll see what kind of season he has over in Europe, and obviously nobody plays unnoticed anymore. So even though he's over there, it doesn't mean he's not under the Canucks' eye. But I asked Jim Benning the question when the Matt Duchene rumors first came up last season. Any chance? And he just shot it down. Said no. They like Ojalevi a lot. I think they like Matt Duchene, although he didn't say that he was going to try and trade for him. So don't. I'm not trying to spawn another tentacle of this story. Everybody likes Matt Duchene. There's a lot of teams that would like him, but the Canucks, I don't think, are giving up on Ojalevi, especially having lost Trampkin back to the KHL. That is a blow that probably doesn't get the full attention that it deserves, because he would be on their team, obviously, right now, and presumably at his age, getting better and heading towards a big role in the NHL. So I think they would love Matt Duchene. I just don't think they're trading Ojalevi. Not yet. We'll see. But I think it's way too early. From their standpoint, it's way too early to give up on him.
Now, Ian, the Canucks are 3-1 on this current road trip with a very winnable game tomorrow in Minnesota.
Who saw this coming?
Well, then that's the point. Like, how happy or satisfied or even excited do you think the team is about this?
Well, they should be very happy with what they have done. And the game that they lost, I didn't think they were very good. But the way they look at it is it all came down to their penalty killing, and that 5-on-5 they were fine. So they had a positive attitude even before they beat Detroit yesterday. I'd say even before they went into Buffalo coming off the Boston game, they still felt okay about themselves. 1-on-1 in the road, having started with that good springboard in Ottawa, winning 3-0 there to start the 5-game trip. So now they have a chance to go 4-1. Get a couple of games over 500 and really build some momentum. The trip is kind of just, I don't want to say it's falling their way, because they're earning these victories. If you look at the last two games especially, and granted, these are poor opponents. I mean, Detroit and Buffalo are not good hockey teams. But the Canucks outshot each badly. 2-1 in Buffalo, and that was with coasting through the third period, defending through the third period, let's say, because it was a one-goal game. I think they had four shots in the third. And almost 2-1 in Detroit. They're playing really well, I think they have a lot of confidence now. It's a great start for Travis Green. As we've talked about before, anytime there's a new message and new systems and new players, if you get positive responses on the ice, it really adds credence to what it is the coaching staff is trying to sell. And I think there's a complete buy-in. The Sedins, we could talk about again, just their level of buy-in for how little they're actually playing. We'll see what happens in Minnesota, but right now, they could have an 800 trip, and I don't think anybody would have predicted that, the way they limped out of town on a 3-game home losing streak.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so they're coming back home with potential to have some real momentum. generate some fan interest. Do you think that's going to get more seats in the or butts in the building?
Well, it's going to be a good measure of our fantastic Vancouver hockey market, isn't it? Because we love to think we're
hockey. Is
that
sarcasm?
Well, that was a little bit of sarcasm. I think Vancouver, listen, Vancouver is a great market. It went over 10 years without an unsold seat. And people have a fervor about this hockey team, obviously. It keeps a lot of us in business, as a matter of fact, the Canucks do. But it's interesting that, you know, it's, when the team became poor, people stopped coming to games, and the same thing didn't happen in Edmonton and Calgary. And what we've heard time and again, and understandably so, is that people need a reason to come back. Like, no NHL team is just entitled to their fans' money, regardless of performance or operations. And what we've heard is that people wanted to be excited. They wanted to see young players in the organization. They wanted to see young players on the ice. And as a bonus, if those young players could also be successful at a young age, you know, that would be tremendous. Well, right now, you know, to a large extent, the Canucks are hitting on all of those buttons. I don't know how long it's going to last, but, you know, I think there should be some interest, no, in what's going on with the hockey team.
Well, to me, the two that are most encouraging, and you know, Bo Horvat, I think fans know what he is and what he could be. So, I mean, he doesn't quite excite them to the same level Brock Besser does, or even Jake Virtanen, who had a fantastic game last night riding a shotgun with the Sedin Twins. But to me, Brock Besser is the guy, and we've seen so many prospects with high hopes fizzle in Vancouver, whether it's Fedor Fedorov, Brandon Reed, Steve Kariya. The list goes on and on with guys that we overrate, and then they fizzle. But to me, I watch Brock Besser play, and every single game I pick out something new I see that he does that's small and seems inconsequential, but just tells you how talented this kid is.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a player because other than his shot, there's nothing breathtaking about his game. You know, he does need to get faster, but he's not a dynamic player in that he takes the puck and beats guys or just makes unbelievable plays, but he makes a lot of good little plays. And I thought one of the most interesting things that Travis Green has said on the road trip is when he was asked about Brock Besser, and I believe it was after the Ottawa game, and he didn't talk about his points or his offense. He talked about how hard Brock is working and all the little things that he's doing well to make himself successful. I'm not sure that he's going to come out of the lineup again, and I'd be surprised if he ends up in the minors at any point this year, because he's helping them now, obviously, and he does seem to be getting better. I think he's you know, better now than he was when he first came into the lineup. And I think Jake Virtanen, because Brock has been so good, I think Jake's progress has been underplayed a little bit. He's playing pretty well in that role. And I know that some people want him to have a bigger role right now. But as Green has said, let him prove that he can play in the NHL. Just be an NHL player to start with and then build from there. And on this road trip especially, Jake Virtanen looks like an NHL player. I think it helps him a ton playing with the Sedins because they're so smart. And in some respects, I think it simplifies the game for Jake that he is never on the ice feeling like he has to do too much, right? Because those guys are still so good with the puck, and they're very conscientious players. Their bodies just aren't what they used to be, and their feet, their speed isn't what it used to be. And Jake helps them in that way. But I think Virtanen is playing really well. I think it's great that they have these two young guys in the lineup and that they're both contributing on different lines. And then on top of that, you still have, you know, the goaltending hasn't been as spectacular. Well, the goaltending hasn't been as impressive as maybe some other areas of the team, but it is fascinating to watch because you're just not quite sure yet what to make of Jacob Markstrom. And I don't think we're going to be sure for a while. And then you look at Anders Nilsson, who has a shutout, and then the next game he can't make a stop when the Canucks need it, and he's out after, you know, before the first period is over. So there are a lot of compelling things about this team right now. They're very interesting to watch, and I have to say that alone is an improvement over the last couple of seasons, when so often they seem to lose the same way with the same guys doing the same things. Everything is different now, and win or lose, they are interesting to watch evolve at the moment.
Now, Ian, you managed to touch on almost every aspect of the team.
That's just one
except,
of my answers,
except,
Alex.
Except the defense. So that's my next question.
Okay.
Troy Stetcher, we heard confirmation today that he's come back to Vancouver for testing. And, you know, how sustainable is this play now with two of their top six D-men out of the lineup for the foreseeable future?
Well, it was going to be tough to have Alex Edler out alone. Now, Stetcher comes out from the bottom of the lineup, and let's just be honest with that. He is in a different role right now, and has been since the season begun, than what was expected of him last year. Last year, he was supposed to be, towards the end of the year, he was counted on, not supposed to be. He was counted on by the Canucks and the coach to be a top four guy. This year, they've asked him to be a bottom pairing guy. You know, and most nights, it means giving them 12 to 15 good minutes. Now, that's easier to replace, obviously, by definition, than what Alex Edler does. But the depth is just, you know, it drops off. It drops off from 6 to 7 with Pouliot. It drops off from 7 to 8 with Biega. And presumably, we haven't seen anyone play from the minors yet this year, but presumably it drops off again from Biega to Weerkopf. So, yes, it will have an effect. The good thing is for Edler, whom in the past we're accustomed to seeing his absence measured in months, they've told us that his absence is 4 to 6 weeks. So you can get through a month. I'm not saying they're going to thrive for 4 to 6 weeks while Edler is out, and especially now if Stetcher's out for a length of time. But you can kind of get through that type of absence. Where it gets tough is when you start having three or four guys out all at one time, and even if that's only for a couple of weeks, that's very difficult for an organization to overcome. But it also gets tough when your top guys are out indefinitely, when they're out for the season or they're out for 2 to 3 months. And fortunately for the Canucks, none of the injuries so far that we know of are to that extent. But certainly they're going to be taxed on the back end. At times, I think they've struggled a little bit at times defensively. But who knew that this team would be able to score its way out of problems, which essentially is what it's been doing on this road trip. 3 goals in Ottawa, 4 in Buffalo with the empty net, 4 in Detroit. So they have enough good things going on that they can overcome the challenges right now that they're facing on defense. But obviously that challenge is going to get bigger if Stetcher's out for a length of time.
Yeah, and we'll see sort of how much better the depth is on the blue line, as sort of we've been led to believe that they have better depth this year. So we'll see if that actually is the case. Hey, Ian, appreciate your time as always. Make sure to check out your stuff on sportsnet.ca. Are you working on anything special for this week right now?
I'm catching my breath at the moment today.
Nice.
But I'll be back behind the keyboard by midweek. And, of course, the team is returning to town. Maybe there'll be a parade.
Yeah, maybe, just maybe. They pick up a win tomorrow.
That's more that sarcasm, by the
yeah.
way. But.
Well, who knows? You know what? They pick up a big win against the Wild, 3 in a row, and maybe, just maybe, Robson Street will be packing again.
We'll see.
All right.
Without the riot.
Yeah, let's
happy
hope
people. Happy people.
2010 people. Sportsnet 650.